Hello, Slough River Church. How are you doing in lockdown? I miss you guys. I miss worshipping with you. I miss fellowshipping with you. I miss hugs. And I'm praying that you're all doing very well. And as I was praying for you, I really felt that the Spirit said he has a gift of joy for you this morning, or whenever you're watching this video. Inexpressible joy was the thing that came to mind. And that's quoted in a verse in 1 Peter, which we'll get to in a moment. But, we're living in difficult days, aren't we? Let's face it. Let's be honest. And it's okay to grieve when we face trials, when we face difficulties, because they're real and they are sad. And we mourn the loss of loved ones. We mourn the prospects of the economy, etc. And that's okay. It's good to grieve when we're saddened. But it's not good to remain in grief. It's good to have fears or concerns about the future, but it's not good to dwell in those fears and those concerns. If we do, we end up in a cold place. We end up living in a sunless life, a dark, heavy heart, and it leads to depression. So the Lord wants to break us out of that today and break us into new realms of joy. And I just want to read a couple of verses from 1 Peter before I get going, because this was the thought that sparked what the Lord was saying to you guys. And it said in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, it's talking about how there's an inheritance for us, which can never spoil or fade or be ruined. It's waiting for us in heaven. There's a glorious inheritance. And so it says in this, in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice because you have been grieved. Greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I love that. So we have our faith, which is more precious than gold, and it's being tested by these trials. But our faith in Jesus, the glorious story of the gospel, the good news, causes our hearts to swell with joy, joy inexpressible. And that's what God has for us in these coming days and weeks. And I'm praying that over you and prophetically for you today. So I want to just pick up on something that Ness Wilson said, who leads Pioneer this week, that it's time to embrace the new day. It's time to stop waiting for the old day to return. The old days may return. They may come back slightly differently. And we don't know when life will return, if it will return to the way it was. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit has plans for us. And just like in the days of Jeremiah, when the Israelites were in slavery, they've been exiled into a foreign land, they were living in slavery, oppressed, not where they wanted to be. And this is the message that God gave them through Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So you may not be where you want to be right now, but enjoy life. He says, give away your daughters in marriage, marry your sons, plant vineyards, plant trees, let the fruit grow, enjoy the fruit, because I have plans to prosper you in this place. And the Lord has plans to prosper you today in the place where you are. And it may look different from where you want to be, but actually, he still has plans to give you hope and a future. So that's something to rejoice in right off the bat. So let's celebrate what we can in this day. So we may not be able to get together in large crowds and celebrate like I love to do and dance the wonderful praise. But we can celebrate the small. We can gather in our homes. Families can gather one with another. We can gather in our gardens up to six. You know, there's ways that we can be together, be community together in these days. But they are smaller. So we can be more intimate. We can get to know our neighbours. We can get to know those who we live amongst, because we have more time for one another locally. We're not all rushing off here, there and everywhere. So let's celebrate the small. Let's get back to one-to-one discipleship like we did in the early days back in the 80s. We can give each other time. We can spend some time, quality time with one another, digging into the scriptures, praying for one another, counselling one another. Time to read our Bibles and to share the joy that we have in faith in Jesus. It's time, above all, to trust the Holy Spirit to shape us, to lead us, to empower us. You know, I'm really excited about the upcoming series, People of the Spirit, that we're going to begin next week. And I've been dwelling on the book of Acts and putting notes together for it. And I'm really excited because I know that the Holy Spirit is longing for that deeper communion and fellowship with us in these days. And as we cry out to God, our Father, he will pour out his Spirit. He will give the Spirit to those who ask. And I'm excited about what he might do amongst us as we focus on that, as we push in, as we just simply ask God, week in, week out, do wondrous acts through the Holy Spirit to take us into a deeper fellowship, a deeper communion with God by his Spirit, because that's what life is about. It's not religion. It's not faith in some bizarre laws. It's about a fellowship with our God, a friendship with our God, who's always longed for friendship with us, but we've held him at a distance. And in this season, we're just going to welcome him again into our hearts and lives. And I'm excited about what that might mean. But I do believe it's going to mean inexpressible joy. It comes as we get filled with the Spirit and as we love, look on Jesus and love him and share the joy that we have with others, all that Jesus means to us. We don't give in to fear, but we actually adventure fearlessly with our God. The passage that I want to focus on for this right now is Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. So if you have a Bible, you might want to read along. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Great few verses, and I know those verses off by heart, though I read them to you just now, because it's great to get the word into us so that we can live from it. And just these few verses are packed, aren't they, with good stuff for our souls. So Paul starts off by saying we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Incredibly, you know, Jesus came and helped us to get back to the Father. Religion had made God a fearful thing, and Jesus portrays God through stories like the prodigal son, where the Father in that story, who represents God, is so gracious, so forgiving. He allows his son to go off with half of his wealth and waste it. But even when he's done that, he's looking constantly for his son's return and rejoices and throws a party when his son returns. And that's our God. And Jesus says that that's what your Father is like. You can come back to him. He's not going to berate you. He's not going to punish you. He's going to throw a party. That's the good news we go out to our friends and neighbours with. God is longing for you to come home to him. And when you do, he's going to throw a big party and celebrate that he has you back. Secondly, it says we have access into grace by faith in Jesus. And what does that mean? Well, it's basically saying we have not just peace with God, but we have access to favour or grace, the grace of God, whereby God doesn't treat us as we deserve, but actually he treats us better than we deserve. So just like the prodigal son, when he comes home, he looks for just to be accepted as a servant. He looks to get maybe what he might deserve for being a wayward son. But God, the Father, treats him with grace. He says, no, puts a ring on his finger. You're my son. I give you my authority. He puts a robe around him. You represent me. I want to welcome you back as a son. And he throws a massive, great big party. And so this is the favour we can expect of God as his children. He loves us just like we love our kids, and they have tremendous favour with us when they ask us for things. If we can do it for them and we believe it's good, we'll definitely do it because we love them dearly. And God is just like that, who knows how to give good gifts to his children. So I encourage you this morning that God loves you, not just as any old person, but he loves you as a dear, dear child. And not just any child, but a favoured child, an inheriting child, a child whom he wants to bestow the very best upon. You have grace with God today. You have favour with God through Jesus today. That warmth of that thought fill your heart right now. Bask in it. Let it flood your mind to know that God is for you, not just to protect you, but actually to favour you in life. But it doesn't stop there. And it says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And of course we rejoice because we know the story. The story ends with the glory of God covering the earth as the waters cover the sea, it says. We know that it ends well. We know that God remakes the world and makes all things new, and there's no more death or crying or mourning or pain, no more pandemics, no more troubles with the economy or troubles in politics and all the rest of it. Actually, just a loving, harmonious community living with God. Incredible. That's an incredible thing to look out for in the future, and we rejoice in that. We also rejoice in our own destination. We look forward to the becoming more and more like Jesus, which the Bible says God is committed to. He says we're predestined to become more and more like Jesus as we learn to live with him, as we look to him for guidance, as we admire him, just like we do on earth. When we admire someone, we become more like them. We're going to become more and more like Jesus. And so that's our predestination. Wow. Incredible, huh? So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then it takes a little twist. It says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. We also rejoice in tough times like this. And some of you might be thinking, oh, that's a bit easy for you to say, Colin, but I'm not finding it very easy to rejoice right now. But Paul is determined, and so is James and Peter and others, said, when we face trials, count it a joy. And here he says, because our trials produce perseverance if we don't give up. And that's all he's asking of us, is in a trial not to give up, but to continue in hope. He says, and if we continue, if we persevere, that produces character in us. We get strengthened when we overcome trials, and when we don't give up, we persist and we manage to break through to the other side of the trial. We become stronger. We know that next time trials come, we're actually more able to cope because we've already passed a few. And so it builds character into us in that way. And then it says character then builds hope into us. And this hope does not disappoint because God has poured out his Holy Spirit into us. He's poured out his love into us by the Spirit of God. Wow. That is incredible, isn't it? We have joy in the presence of God with us, because the Bible says that the church is like a temple, a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. God is pouring out his Spirit, filling us. God is dwelling with us right now, because one day he's going to dwell with every person. One day his presence is going to fill the earth, as we've just said, and the whole of humanity is going to live with him. But we're the first fruits of that. In fact, well, Jesus was the first fruit, but his early disciples were the first fruits. And now we are the first fruits. And we walk in that now. We walk in uninterrupted, holy communion with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And such joy flows to us, knowing that we walk in the favour of God, that we have peace with God, that God is for us, working in all things for good, for our behalf and on behalf of everybody. That's amazing to know. It fills us with joy. We're not disappointed because God fills us with his Spirit, and we sense it and know it. And our hearts cry out, don't they? Abba, Father, you know. No wonder one of the first fruits of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22 is joy. It says the fruits of the Spirit, the character qualities that come to us from hanging out with God, from fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, we say yes to those in our lives, Lord Jesus. But right up at the front there, after love, comes joy. Because we know God loves us. There's a joy that comes, an inexpressible joy that comes. And my prayer right now is, again, that you'll experience that joy even as you're watching this. It flows from knowing we're loved by God. It flows from knowing that he's with us, that we walk and live in his favour. He's gracious to us. It's what it says here. It's what it says in 8:14. It says, by the Spirit of God, we cry out, Abba, Father. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of adoption. And adoption is to do with inheritance. It's not to do with including into the family. It means that we get to inherit all of our father's things that he has. We get to inherit the kingdom. And that's why Jesus says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom in Luke 12:32. And he's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians 5:5, Ephesians 1:14. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. One day we'll collect everything. We'll walk in the fullness of all this. But right now, he gives us his Holy Spirit to say, to just to let us know it's all true. It's all going to come. The rest of it's coming too. So Father, we say, please fill us again with your Spirit today. Fill us with that down payment. Fill us with that guarantee that the rest is coming. Fill us with your joy, with your peace, with your love, with your kindness and gentleness. Fill us, Lord God. Incredible, huh? Incredible. So we are the Spirit people, and we're going to be exploring that in the next few months. We're people who are born by the Spirit. As we invite God into our lives, we become alive through the love of God. We're shaped by him as we look to him, as we admire him. We're led by him. He leads us in ways we would never have walked if we didn't know God was with us. Because knowing God is with you makes you really brave and adventurous. And it helps us to step out and to risk looking a fool. Because we know that God is with us. He's going to watch us and catch us if we fall. And not only that, we're also empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gives us supernatural gifts. Tongues, prophecy, healing, administration, mercy, helps, leadership, all kinds of gifts he gives us to be a blessing to those that we live with and among. And so it's time to get back to you knowing that you're anointed, that you are a Christian, a little anointed one, anointed by God, anointed with the Holy Spirit, empowered to work with him in these days. And I think one of the reasons that God is allowing this to happen is that he's excited by the fact that we're no longer focused on Sundays where one or two people do everything, but actually where we all now know that we're key ministers of the gospel, because we're on our own. And we're the ones that are next to our neighbours. We're the only ones that can talk. We can't take them to church. We can't take them anywhere. We can show them videos, but I'm the minister now. And that's what you should say to yourself. I'm the minister now. I minister. I bring people into the presence of God. I'm a priest. I'm anointed by God to represent him and to lead others into his presence, to help them meet him and fall in love with him. I just want to finish by telling a story. Because when I first became a Christian, I didn't know all this. But I was filled with an excitement and a joy inexpressible. And so I love to read the word. I love to read my Bible. I used to read it 2 or 3 times a day. And used to read it at lunchtimes at work. And then one day, a friend saw me, or a guy I didn't know very well, but I trained with him a few times. And he said, did I see you reading your Bible the other day? And I said, yeah, you did. And he said, can I read it with you, please? And it turns out that he was just seeking himself, and he didn't really know how to understand the Bible, neither did I read it. I'd only been a Christian a few months. But I said, sure, let's read the Bible together. And so we started to read it together and enjoyed those times. And then after a few months, he became a Christian, which is wonderful. And then someone in my office, one lunchtime, Thursday lunchtime it was, after we came back, after reading the Bible together, me and this guy, this lady says, "What are you doing Thursday lunchtime? Where do you go? Are you taking drugs?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, why are you so happy?" So, "Well, we're just reading the Bible together." And she said, "No, you're not. You can't be." And she didn't believe us. So I said to her, "Well, why don't you come and find out? You can join us." And she was a Catholic, an Irish lady, a lovely, beautiful lady. And we invited her and she said, "Okay, I will." And she came. She came a few weeks and then she bought herself a study Bible. And then 6 months later, she became a Christian. And she encountered joy. And people said after I left there that, "What have you done to her? Because you've made her even worse than you." And it was nothing to do with me. It was that she'd encountered God. And that little group saw people saved and healed, and Christians who'd lost their faith come back to faith. Fantastic. But it was small, intimate, just a handful of us reading the Bible together once a week. I wonder if that's something you could do. I wonder. See, I love reading the Bible, so that's what I would do. But maybe your gift is something else. Whatever your gift is, I just would encourage you to celebrate it in the small, to share it with someone this week or weekly. Invite someone to pray with you. Invite someone to walk with you. Invite someone to read the Bible with you. Invite someone to watch videos with you like this. Just adventure with Jesus in these days and know that you're a minister of the gospel, a minister of reconciliation, filled up with his Spirit, being changed from glory to glory to become more like Jesus. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank God for you and I pray that his life abundant will be poured out on you again today. In Jesus' name, amen.